comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. That's a fact. We're here because you have a right to know. We are here because you matter. You know, last night we had Open Lines Live, and right at the end of last night's show, I said something that before I said it, I said, you know, I know I'm going to get some email about this. Somebody's going to say I insulted my audience. And, I did. I got an email, only one, and it said, but it didn't say you've insulted your audience. It said that what I said was right on target. So if you were listening last night, you know what I said, and certainly it's not an insult to the audience. It's just an insult to people who choose to be really stupid. And if some of those were listening, then they were certainly felt insulted, I guess. But that's all I got was just that. We have a suggestion box. It's not new. We've had it forever. And we get suggestions from people who listen to the show all around the world, suggesting links for me to look at, suggesting pages for me to read, videos for me to see, suggesting guests for the show, suggesting topics for the show, etc. You've heard me talk about that before. And in the suggestion box last week, maybe it was really very early this week, but... if not, it was late last week. I got a suggestion that, we have so many callers who talk about having had some strange encounter, some encounter with some strange phenomena. And so the suggestion said, why don't you do a show where you have people from the audience that just tell their story about their strange encounter and their brush with the world of the strange and unexplained. And so what I did is I sent a message to all of our members and explained that I had gotten this suggestion. I thought it was a good idea, and asked if you've had some sort of brush with the strange and unexplained, share your story with me, and if you're willing to talk with me about it on the air, send me your phone number. So tonight is going to be the first in the series. They will not be every night, but we'll space them out. But this is the first in the series I'm calling Real People, just like you, folks, just like you, but they've had an encounter with something very strange, some kind of phenomena that's very strange. Maybe a UFO sighting, maybe alien abduction, an encounter with a ghost. I mean, it could be anything. Bigfoot, maybe even Chupacabra. Who knows? It could be anything. Tonight's our first one. Real people just like you. We'll be back.
Thank you.
right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Boy, I'll tell you something weird is going on. Talking about having an encounter with the strange and the unexplained, we're having it right now. The software that does our television broadcast, for some reason, has refused to play the video clips that we played during the break. I don't know why. And because it was working just a few minutes ago, but for some reason, right now, it will not do it. That's okay, because it's a radio show, and we'll just continue on. It's just during the breaks, you folks watching our TV channel will get to just hear what goes on the radio during breaks. Last night, I said there were a couple of things we didn't get to, and a couple of important things we did not get to. So I want to get to those, and then in right after that, we will bring our guest on for this evening, who is both a listener, a very regular listener to this show, and also a member of the Kevin Smith Show members area. I encourage all of you to become members. You know, if you are a member, you get to watch the shows live, but it's more than that. You get the archives. Some people say, well, I don't see any archives on your site. That's because you don't have the key to go behind the door where they are. So when you become a member, you can. All right, that's where the archives are, in the members area. But you also get your own blog. You get your own photo gallery where you can upload photos that you want to share with the members area. You have forums. You have chat. You've got a library of free ebooks to download. They're yours. You have the video galaxy with videos that you can watch. Lots and lots and lots of stuff, and we have a brand new members area that's going to be opening up very, 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 very soon now, and it's got even more stuff. It's only $6.95 a month. If you join now, that you lock it in for 12 months at $6.95. But once we open up the new one, the old one goes away, everybody moves to the new one, and if you wait until then to join, it goes up just a little bit, not much. It goes up to $7.50, but still a great value. However, you can lock that in tonight by joining now before we move to the new members community. All right, let's see. I have no idea if this is going to work. Yeah, it worked. All right. So apparently the TV broadcast software is going to allow us to show a few pictures, but it's not going to allow us to play the videos during the breaks. That's okay. No big deal. 16 new super Earths have been discovered. Now, they're called super Earths for a couple of reasons. They are rocky planets as opposed to gas giants. They are bigger than Earth. And in some cases, they have other characteristics similar to Earth. One of these planets, by the way, this discovery, this is not NASA. Okay? This is the European Space Agency that is bringing you these 16 new super Earths. 16! How about that? One of them is called HD85512B. It's 3.6 times the size of Earth, so almost 4 times the size of Earth. Pretty big. And they're interested in that one because it is in what they call the habitable zone or the Goldilocks zone. Now, this Goldilocks zone, by the way, is 36 light years away. So this is not in our solar system. It's not even in our galaxy. It is in our galaxy. but it's 36 light years away. So if you were traveling at the speed of light and left today, it would take you 36 years to get there. So they're looking at it because it's in the Goldilocks zone around its star. Now, the Goldilocks zone is what they call a zone that is close enough to the star so that there's heat on the planet. It's not, you know, minus 300, minus 400 degrees. There's heat on the planet. It's not so close to the star that the planet is frying. So you get too close to the star, then you have temperatures of 900 degrees or 1,000 degrees. So they're looking for one. They're looking for planets that are in this Goldilocks zone. So it's warm enough to live, but not too warm. Now, what they're looking for and why they're calling it the Goldilocks zone, they're looking for the planets that are in what they call the habitable zone. You've heard me talk about this before. When we hear scientists talking about there's no life out there, there couldn't be life on that planet because the temperature is 900 degrees, tremendous surface pressure, etc. That, you know, stuff like they tell us about Venus. And they say there can't be life there. And you've heard me talk about that. And I say, that, well, what utter balderdash. That's nonsense. Of course there could be life there. We find life on this planet right here, this one that your feet are on. We find life on this planet that is really, really extreme. In fact, they are called extremophiles. They live in extreme conditions, extreme pressure, extreme heat, like at the bottom, the very bottom of the ocean. They live without light. There's no light there. They live apparently off of the chemicals, you know, the sulfurous chemicals blowing out of the vents at the bottom of the ocean. Where there should be nothing living, scientists have found thriving communities of life where it can't be, where they thought it can't be. So when they talk about they're looking for something in the habitable zone, they're basically saying we're looking for life out there, but what they're basically saying is we're looking for us. So we're looking for planets where we could live. I think that's a little narrow, but okay, at least they're looking. Well, they found this one. It's got a really snazzy name, HD85512B. Boy, that's just catchy, isn't it? I mean, that's going to catch on like, you know, like Coca-Cola, the real thing. In no time at all, you're going to see HD85512B on T-shirts all over the world, bumper stickers. It's really going to catch on. Interesting planet. This planet is almost four times the size of Earth. So it's big. It's year. Now, you know what causes a year, don't you? Of course you do. It's not the rotation of the planet. It's the orbit of the planet. How long does it take for a planet to go completely around its star and come back to its starting point? For us, it's 365.25 days. For this planet, it's 60 days. 60. Only 60 days to go all the way around. That's pretty fast. That's moving around that planet pretty fast. I mean, around that star pretty fast. And what they have determined is that the temperatures on this planet are, while maybe a little uncomfortable at times, habitable by us, of course. Temperatures range from approximately
30 degrees Celsius to 50 degrees Celsius. The 50 degrees would be pretty tough, but if you had shelter, you could get inside and turn on the fan, maybe. In other words, the temperature is not, while it might be uncomfortable, it's not really prohibitive for us or life similar to us. And about the coolest it gets is 30 degrees. Well, that's pretty comfortable. So that's 30 degrees Celsius is not bad. See, 40 degrees is 105 Fahrenheit, so 30 degrees would be something like, what, 75, 78 degrees Fahrenheit? Something like that. I don't know. They don't know yet if it has atmosphere. Well, they may by now because this news came out several days ago. I just haven't been able to get to it. So who knows? By now they may have determined if it's got an atmosphere. They don't know if it has water, which would be very, very important for life like us. Not all life on this planet requires water. There are forms of life, and not all life on this planet, right here, this planet, Earth. Not all life on this planet requires water, and not all life on this planet requires oxygen. I've talked to you before about very small, microscopic forms of life on this planet, right here, that are very, very ancient, and they are more ancient than bacteria, and they thrive in pools of hydrocarbons. They do not require oxygen, and if you expose them to oxygen, they die. And that's on this planet. So, could those exist on other planets? Of course they could. But the scientists are looking for planets that are habitable by stuff that looks like us. And by looks like us, I don't mean physically shaped like us. I just mean, you know, mechanically and chemically and so forth, something similar to us. Breathes oxygen, drinks water, so forth. So they don't know yet if this planet has an atmosphere. They don't know yet if this planet has water. But they do say that the star that it's orbiting is about 1,000 degrees less hot than our sun. That's why this planet can orbit so closely to that star and still be in that star's habitable zone. 36 light years away is not far. Oh, it's you know, if you tried to take out your tape measure and measure it, it would be a heck of a long ways. But I mean, in terms of distances in the universe, that's not far. That truly is next door. So it would be pretty exciting if they were to discover that in fact it has an atmosphere and that it has water and that it has cloud cover, because that would indicate a very high probability that there is life there. One of the things the scientists said about this, though, you know, being the size it is, its gravity would be more than Earth's gravity. And so they said, you know, we're not suspecting that there's any human type or humanoid life on this planet. But if there were, it would very likely be short, more squat-bodied than what we have here on Earth because of the increased gravity. Well, that might be the case. I have seen arguments, though, that say that increased gravity would cause you to grow stronger and taller, and there are people that argue it that way. There are scientists that argue it that direction as well. But this is important. It's important for a number of reasons. Number one, it's important because it's the ESA and not NASA. That's important. That ought to be a message to NASA. Nothing wrong with the ESA getting there first, but it ought to be a wake-up call to NASA as well. It's also important because they are now beginning, the scientists are beginning to talk about habitable planets, real planets that are really habitable. And this is the second one they found that they think is a really good candidate for being habitable. The other one was that Galice, remember that one? So this one is the second one that they think is a real good candidate for being habitable by life like us. And the reason that's important is, first, it's forcing scientists to admit that there are worlds out there where there could be other intelligent life. They're not admitting that there is other intelligent life out there, not publicly. But it's forcing them to admit, even publicly, that there are other worlds out there where there could be other intelligent life. And it's another reason that it's important is because if things go south here on this planet, and it gets really, really bad, really, really tough, if we have the technology to head out for another habitable planet, it is possible that the human race could reseed itself on another planet and keep the race alive. Now, personally, I don't think things are going to get that bad here. I think they're going to get bad. I don't think they're going to get that bad. But if they do, if I'm wrong and things really get that bad, then having some place to go is not a bad idea. Having an escape route, a back door, a way to go and a place to go is not a bad idea for keeping the race alive. Unfortunately, I think if it comes to that and the technology exists to make the escape, the ones who get to make the escape will be the least worthy ones to start the new race, to start the new colony. It will be the people with the power and the money who did the most damage here and the least to help. But maybe it won't come to that. What it will come to, though, is this. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from this break, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be talking to real people.
To the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and as I said, tonight's show is the first in a series called Real People. You know, many, many, many people listen to this show. It numbers in the millions. And many of you have had encounters with very strange phenomena. There are a lot of folks who, when they encounter strange phenomena, begin to wonder, am I nuts? Am I crazy? Or is this really happening? And then a lot of folks are afraid to talk about it with friends or family because they're afraid their friends and family will think they're nuts. Even if they've decided they're not nuts, their friends and family may think they are nuts. They fear the ridicule. And, of course, ridicule, you need to understand, folks, ridicule happens only in the presence of really stupid, incredibly stupid people. So quit hanging around incredibly stupid people and you won't get ridiculed. But still, People are afraid of that, and so a lot of times they don't talk about it. On this show, when we open the telephone lines at the end of the show, you know, well, not at the end, but at the in the second half of the show, we open the telephone lines for you to call in. You've heard people who have called in talk about some of their experiences, but usually it's just in passing. We don't get a chance to really delve into their story much. But you've heard a few people mention their experiences with the phenomena of the strange and unexplained. Well, tonight we're privileged to have with us the first of our listeners that we are going to have. We will have some more. Our guest tonight normally is in the audience, but tonight the star of the show, Haya, from Canada. And Haya, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hiya, let me...
Thank you very much.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Let me start off by getting you to sort of introduce yourself to us a little bit. What part of Canada are you in?
I'm living in British Columbia on Vancouver Island in Victoria.
Okay, so you're living where people felt the earthquake the other day. Did you feel it?
No, we felt nothing.
You felt nothing, okay.
No, it was further up island.
Yeah, they said it was 175 miles west of Vancouver City. So I think they felt it in the city.
It's north. It was at the tip of the island from Gold River up.
Okay.
They felt a little bit around Nanaimo.
All right. Native-born Canadian? I mean, you were born in Canada, or are you a Canadian import?
No, I'm actually a native-born believer. I'm adopted into a Jewish family, but my mother was Mi'kmaq, and my father was Mohawk, Chief mm-hmm. Don Eagle. Outside, it was on the reserve, Montreal Island. I was brought up on the West Island of Montreal.
Okay. So, but you were born in Canada.
Yes, I'm Canadian born.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, we have heard several times when you, over the years, when you've called in, we've heard little snippets of your experiences, you know, as, you know, you'll tell us a little something that applies to what we're talking about. And, but you are someone who really has quite a lot of experience with what I think a lot of people would call paranormal things, as well as with UFOs and extraterrestrial things. So why don't we start with, and by the way, I do have some of your photographs here to show tonight, but why don't we start with UFOs. Let's start there, and then we'll move to paranormal. Now, with UFOs, were you always sort of pro-UFO? I mean, you know, interested in it and something that really sort of captivated you, and then you had a sighting or an experience? Or did your interest in UFOs happen after your first experience with them?
Well, it's probably from the very beginning. As a child, I was informed that I was adopted, and I always used to think that I didn't belong on this planet. You know, that I guess men do think like that. But at a very, very young age, I sensed, I had a vision, but that was after 6 years old. I'll go back. I went from the age of that I can remember until 6 years old. I used to suffer a lot of terrible, terrible, excruciating earaches. I didn't know where it came from. I had no infection, I didn't have any swelling. They had me to doctors, specialists. Nobody knew what the problem was. I'd had x-rays. Whatever they could do, they couldn't find the problem. When I was about six, I think it probably around September, October, I was in grade one. And I was a night owl because of the fact I didn't like going to sleep. Something caught my attention. I looked out the window, And I saw what I thought was a child. Me being who I am, I'm very protective and just love animals, love children. That maternal instinct always has been there. I climbed out of my window. We lived in the country. I chased this child past the field and into the forest, which is about a few miles away from the house. And I kept on screaming, "Don't go, you're going to get lost, you're going to get hurt." As I went through the forest, which I used to play all the time, I stopped it because there was what I would call a lighthouse in the middle of the forest. And I'm just looking at it thinking, you know, being brought up on a boat most of my life in the summers, you know, it didn't sit right. I mean, it didn't make sense to me. But I saw this, what I thought was a child going into it, and I followed it. And as I followed into the open, the doorway, I turned around, and there was no doors, there was no windows, there was a light. I don't know where the light was coming from. It wasn't harsh or bright. It was a very comfortable light, and everything was metallic around me. And then all of a sudden, I woke up in my bed. There was that missing time. I don't know how long I was there. When I woke up, the woman that was taking care of me pulled the sheets back, and I had earth and dirt and leaves in my bed, and we just decided to keep it quiet because, you know, telling somebody that I was outside early hours in the morning chasing a child sounded a little odd.
Okay, now this was when you were 6 years old?
I was around six, yeah.
Uh-huh, okay.
From that time on, I have never, ever suffered from an earache, ever. After that, I started getting visions. I would get visions like I was wide awake, like I was talking to somebody, and all of a sudden a vision would appear, and I could see myself standing on a plateau, looking out to the distance, and in the distance there was a mountain range, but between the mountain range and the plateau there was desert going off to the right. But on the left, there was a pristine, huge body of water with two suns in the sky. And when I saw that, I said, "That's where I come from." But I couldn't prove it, of course. As the time went by...
Okay, let me ask you a question here about the vision. Is there a difference? Because I think a lot of people would like to know this. Is there a difference between a dream and a vision?
Oh, yes.
What is that difference?
It's a vision. There's more clarity. It's like you're living and breathing like you're right there.
Okay.
You're actually physically right there. It's, you know, we're a dream. It's like a daydream. You know you're in a daydream, but it's not the same. The vision, it's almost like you can smell like the desert. You can hear noises. Different, very, very different. It's like you're really there.
All right. Now, when you were in this vision and you were walking, I think you described it sort of as a beach. There was a large body of water off to the left.
Yes.
Did in your mind, did you think you were on Earth, or did you think you were on your home planet?
Well, I knew I wasn't on Earth,
mm-hmm.
and I recognized it wasn't Earth because it was, well, I just the sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
I sensed it was where I came from.
Okay, so I had misunderstood. I thought when you looked at the two suns, that you said that's where I came from, but you meant the planet that you were standing on. Okay.
Yes, I did.
All right. So you had this vision, and how long did it last? And when you came out of the vision, where were you and what were the conditions?
Well, the first vision happened. I was probably sitting in my class at school, and my teacher, her name was Miss Brain, And she came up and moved me, and I was like in a, she explained, she actually thought something was wrong with me, and she kept on shaking me, and that's when I came out of it. And she said, are you all right? And I said, yeah, fine. So I guess I was in a different spot. I mean, I don't know how the teacher would have explained it. She thought that I was maybe having some type of seizure, or because I wasn't responding. She'd never seen anything happen like this with me before. That was the only time, and she just shook me hard enough, and I was fine, you know. She did mention something to my parents later on and asked them if I ever went into, like, trance-like states, and they wouldn't have known because they didn't usually bring me up, so. But other people knew I did. My grandmother did.
And were you subject to going into seizures?
No, never had seizures in my life.
Okay. All right.
No, I used to go into trance states. Or I was extremely sensitive for whatever reason. After my encounter, I could pick up on people. You know, I could pick up if they were good or bad. I used to scare my parents because I would walk into a room and I would peg somebody right off the bat. You know, children, you know, I guess they will pick up things that adults will not.
Well, I think children can pick up things that adults will not, but I don't think it's automatic just because they're children they're going to pick it up.
No, no.
But, you know, I've always, as far back as I can remember, been able to really peg somebody within about it's a strange thing, and maybe it's what you've got. I don't know. Maybe it's the same sort of experience you've got. I have to hear them speak. If I hear them speak within 4 or 5 seconds, I can pretty much write a book.
Yeah, that's about it. You're so right, because it's when somebody speaks to me, or I'm in the presence. Like, I won't pick it up, let's say, on the television, or I don't have a TV anyways, but I don't pick it up from necessarily pictures. Mind you, there's only one picture in my life that I picked up something that, you know, made my body crawl, and I found out later why, but usually I can pick up with people. I mean, my parents put a stop to me as a very young child because I used to bring stray people home, stray animals home.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We're going to pick up right there when we come back. Don't go away, folks. More with Hiya right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Hiya from Canada. Hiya, when we went away for break, you were in mid-sentence. If you would like to finish that thought, go ahead. And then I want to move forward to 2007.
We can go to 2007 now. I think I've said most of.
Okay. In 2007, something happened that was pretty dramatic for you. Why don't you share that with us?
Well, I'll tell you. 2007, I went down to the East City Ranch, James Gilliland Ranch. Prior to that, I'd been listening to Coast to Coast, Mark Bell. And James was on, and he challenged everybody, if you want to know about UFOs, come down to the ranch. We'll guarantee you will see something. I took the challenge, and I went down there in 2007. I'll never regret it. That whole area is a huge, massive vortex with many vortices in it. I sat and watched UFOs going in and out of Mount Adam on a regular basis.
What do you mean going in and out of the mountain?
Well, that's about the The mountain is, it's almost impossible to get up there walking. It's lava rock and, you know, you can't get vehicles up there. They've tried, but it's impossible. We watched, all I can say is they're UFOs. They're huge, massive balls of light, massive candle power. Some of them are multicolored. Anyways, they go into the mountain. They literally go into the mountain, disappear in, and they also disappear. They come out of the mountain on one side of it, about the middle to the right. They come out. There must be a exit and entrance from that area. Mm-hmm. And we would watch them. We would watch the jets chase them. Then they blink out. The jets go by. Once the jets have gone by, they blink on again, and they continue going in and out. We've watched them go across the property very slowly, and you can feel the energy of these UFOs, if the, for a better word. They're multicolored. When you experience it, it's not just a sighting. The experience you get, it's on multi-levels, emotional, spiritual, psychological, you know, and sensual. You feel, you don't realize how much you're picking up until after the fact. I started taking pictures, and I was introduced to the orbs. I was just flabbergasted. It was something I'd never experienced before. The picture, you take a camera, digital, take a picture. If it's a low lux, which has not a lot of filter, it will pick up what the eye does not necessarily see. And I picked up orbs, and I was hooked. I thought they were phenomenal. And I thought, oh, this is great. And I talked to Michael Ledwith at the time, who was at the ranch at that particular time. He was a speaker. And he had written a book on the orbs, and he had also put a video out on the Orb Project. And I was, as I said, I was hooked, so I started taking pictures. And from that on, that point onwards, I have a video library of interdimensionals, orbs, and God knows what else I'm picking up. I don't know. I mean,
all right, well, let's talk about these orbs for just a minute, because it sounds like the UFOs that you saw at James Gilliland's ranch, it sounds like they are a gigantic version of these orbs.
Basically, yes.
Okay, now, do you think that these are some type of really advanced craft, or do you think that these are some type of living entities?
I would say definite living, intelligent, sensual, sentient beings, mm-hmm. without a doubt. I can communicate with them. They can communicate with me on a very basic level right now,
mm-hmm.
which means if they want me to be out there taking pictures, I just know. It's not a belief. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to go and take my camera, and I will take pictures, and I'll start picking them up. Now, I've tried about 3 or 4 different cameras, and they all pick up the same thing. So
right, now,
I thought it was...
You told me on the telephone about an experience there at the ranch where information was downloaded into you.
Yeah, it started in 2009. We had a massive sighting in 2009 where many people were downloaded. We were on a generator by John Riley, who was an inventor. It was called a live stream generator. We had about 150 people on it. It works on radiant energy, and we were just bringing in, we were asking to bring in the ETs, which it did. It came over very, very silently, just appeared very silently over the heads of probably about 300, 400 people there at the time. And as it came over very, very slowly, and it was multicolor, and it was large. And it was probably about a few hundred feet above us, but we could feel the energy. And I just sensed that something had changed, but I didn't know what. It was only when we left the ranch, between the time I left until the next conference, that I realized how much I had been downloaded, how much information. When I talked to James about it, he said, the reason why you don't remember everything is the amount of information they are giving you is so much that you wouldn't be able to handle it if you were aware of it right away. It would be too much. So over the year, it comes out bit by bit by bit. And that was my starting of my downloads. Then in 2010, I had another download. And we had four major UFOs coming, and one was like blue multicolored, one was a violet multicolored, one had oranges and red, and then of course we had one that was almost white, and each had its own energy, and it just left people in awe. And that time I was standing in the field. And this is the time when I really recognized I'd been downloaded, because as I was standing there, it was like a vortex was spinning around me. It was going anti-clockwise, but I could actually see the spin, and I could barely see past the spin to the mountain, in the background. And that lasted, I'm not sure how long that was lasted. But when it stopped, I was a little bit, unsteady. A friend of mine, Philip Harris, said, are you all right? I said, yes, this is the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. He held my hand for a while until I steadied. And then I went to talk to James, and I was kind of wobbling. He said, take your shoes off, take your bare feet, and walk on the ground. So you ground yourself. And when I did that, I started becoming my normal self. I didn't feel, odd or anything else. But it left me with a sense of something major had happened.
I remember back in 2007, before you went to the ranch, I remember that you had called in a couple of times talking about that you were going, and that you were hoping that you would see something. And what you've just told us is not only did you go, you saw something, you experienced something, and then you went back in 2009, 2010. All right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back, and when we come back, I want to talk about these orbs a little bit more in detail. And then we'll open up the telephone lines for all of you folks who want to call and talk with Haya. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Haya this evening. Haya is from Canada. She is one of our faithful members and listeners to this show. And this is the first in a series of shows we will do called Real People. Real people just like you who have had encounters with the world of the strange and unexplained. And she's sharing with us some of her story, some of her encounters. Haya, whenever we went to break, we were talking about the fact that you went, you told us in 2007, incidentally, if I'm not mistaken, I had a stroke in 2007. I think this was before I had that stroke. You were calling and telling us that you were going to James Gilliland's
right.
ranch, and then When were the dates for that?
When I went?
Uh-huh.
In 2007?
Yeah.
It was in July.
In July, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And then, actually, you were telling us before that you were going.
Yeah.
Then I had the stroke. Then you went.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and a lot of people listening are new, and they have no idea that I had a stroke, but I did, and pretty miraculous things happened with my recovery. I don't know if it had anything at all to do with what was going on at the ranch or anything.
It's very possible.
But, you know, I was only down for 4 days. I had the stroke on Friday. I was back on the air on Tuesday night.
I remember that, too.
Yeah. I was pretty weak, pretty tired.
You still made it.
Yeah, I was very tired, but I was back on Tuesday night. And on Friday night, they'd been talking about they didn't know if I would make it or not.
I know. But you will, and you are.
Yeah, well, I'm still kicking. I'm still kicking. You know, one of my Kevinisms is... You arrived here with an expiration date. Stop looking for it.
True, but you're going to be here for quite a while, Kevin.
Yeah, yeah.
You have things to do.
I certainly do, and I want to move forward now. You went 2007, 2009, 2010, and did you go in 2011?
Yes, I did.
Did anything interesting happen in 2011?
Yes, there was a lot.
Tell us about it.
I actually had contact with, if you want to call it, ET, if you want to call it, people that look like us.
Okay.
I was the privilege of meeting Robert Odine, Michael Tellinger, Mel Fabregas, and many, very, many, many wonderful people. And I spent a lot of time with Bob Dean talking to him. As he puts it, he's already pegged the planet he's going to retire on. But with his remote viewing and pegging me straight off the bat, we connected. And I started asking him, because he'd met ETs, I said, well, how do you tell the difference between one of us and one of them, you know, if we look alike? He said, sweetheart, it's the energy that they give off. It's very different, very positive, but you know it. It's not a case of belief. It's you know it. You meet this person, and automatically you're gonna, the energy from them is just so different.
And so you met some?
From most people you would meet.
Mm-hmm.
It's how would you put it? It's like when you're around them, it feels like there's a cocoon of protection around you.
How many did you meet?
Very loving.
Yeah, how many did you meet?
I beg your pardon?
How many did you meet?
I met three.
Mm-hmm. And they were there at the conference. Why were they there at the conference?
I think, well, you know, if you were an ET... And you want to get to know a little bit about the people that you're on this planet. Mm-hmm. And you want to find some people that are nice and that wouldn't harm you. I guess that's a perfect place to mingle, because everybody's like-minded. I have never come across in my entire life so many people. They're so like-minded, so good to the core, and so much... a part of this. It's incredible.
You know, one of the
like
people who has...
hugging each other, it's just that feeling. It's what happens is when they're around, it has this feeling of family, the feeling of connection,
mm-hmm.
the feeling that everything's going to be fine.
One of the people who has been there and who experienced having information downloaded is Dr. Brooks Agnew, one of America's leading scientists.
Yes, and he and I have stood side by side watching the same phenomena and being downloaded as well.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's anybody who wants to experience this, I will guarantee anybody that walks on that ranch will come, will leave there as a totally different person. Whatever your problems are going to be, they're going to come up when they're there. You're going to be changed when you leave. This happens to everyone. I don't care who it is. There will be a change.
That's pretty powerful.
It is.
All right, I want to talk about orbs for a minute and your photographs. I found some interesting things in these photographs. First, I'm showing a photograph. It looks, there are people playing drums, and the shape and size of these drums, they look like Native American instruments. Is that what this is?
Well, actually, yes, some of it is. I didn't bring my drums up, but most of them were Native. Well, not all of them are Native. If you take a look at the gentleman that's sitting down, I think that's a, it's a South American drum. I think you hold it on your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then there was people, you know, this is all in the field. This is in, this is in, it's called the Field of Dreams. It's at Isetti. And this is what I wanted to get pictures of my orbs, and I asked them to come in. And I just kept on taking them and taking them. My whole camera, the whole thing was filled with orbs. People, orbs, different colors, different shapes. Different phenomena.
All right, now, so this is at James Gilliland's ranch.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are listening, the sky is absolutely full of these orbs, and they're not small. They're big. Well, there are a few small ones, but some of these are pretty big. All right. Now, I'm going to switch to a picture. This looks like it was in somebody's yard. Maybe it was at...
Actually, that's a picture I took... from my bedroom window.
Okay.
The gorge.
Now, this one is very, very curious. Because I know there are people who will say, okay, well, this is hoaxed, or these are dust particles, or whatever. But let's set that aside for a minute, and let me point a few things out. So if you're one of the people who's very, very skeptical, and that's okay to be. Nothing wrong with being skeptical. But if you are, set that aside for a minute, and let's take a look at some things. When you look at this picture, if you really pay attention to it, it looks like there are different species of these orbs. Now, I'm going to point out why I say that. Two things I'm going to point out, and there are more. First of all, some of these orbs, they're kind of light blue in color, and they have a dark circle in the center. And in this picture, I see three very easily. There were some more that were smaller or further away that I think have the dark center, but I'm not sure. But there's the blue orbs with the dark center. And then there's another species. These are white, and they have a tail behind them. By tail, I mean like a comet. They've got a light tail following them. And I've pointed out four of these. There are more, I think. As
yes, there are.
I look into this picture, but they're smaller and harder to see. But I can see four very clearly that have this tail behind them. And so that kind of rules out that it's dust. You wouldn't have four identical shapes. And with the others, three identical shapes, all with the dark center. So it's not dust. What do you make of this? The blue ones with the dark center and the white ones that have that tail behind them. What do you think about that? What is that?
Well, I'll say for one thing, they can go through objects. They can go through solid walls. The solid walls make no difference to them.
Mm-hmm.
These ones that have that look like they're little rockets going up into the air, they come out. They're coming out of the earth.
Uh-huh.
I have found them coming out of buildings. I've actually got pictures of them in broad daylight. I think you might have seen some
mm-hmm.
In my pictures. But, yes, they're quick. They move very fast. They're hard to find sometimes. And then there's others that will sit there, and you can watch them and watch them. They have no distortion in them. Sometimes they are multicolored. Sometimes they're blue. Sometimes they're green. Sometimes they're pink, bright pink. Sometimes they look like there's an animal inside, a person inside. Other times, they're white, with almost like they're punching through into another dimension.
What do you think they are?
They're sentient. They're all beings of some type, possibly related, like maybe humanity's related to other beings that are similar. And I'd say the orbs have been here for eons. I think they are probably been here as long as Earth has been here.
Do you think?
I believe they're intelligent entities. Put it that way.
Okay. So based on what you just said, you think they are from Earth? You don't see these as being extraterrestrial?
I don't know if they're extraterrestrial. I think some are interdimensional. Some could be extraterrestrial because there are some correlations between what I've seen at James and these orb-type UFOs that come, and they're just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So some of my orbs relate, you know, look a lot like them, mm-hmm. but some of them are extremely large, some of them are extremely small. And then sometimes I'll take pictures, and there's a distortion in the light. There's nothing wrong with the camera, because I'll take more pictures. And it's like something is punching a hole into another dimension. And it's almost like there's a vortex or an opening that happens.
Now, these pictures of the orbs that I've been talking about and that I've been showing, this is in your yard, right?
Yes. It's, actually, I'm about less than 9 feet from the water. This is... Yeah, I'm in the same area, but I'm in a different apartment. So this one's facing the water.
Mm-hmm.
The pictures that you saw are from the water.
Mm-hmm.
My last apartment, you can see there's a parking lot, and those are pictures I took up there. And that was from 2007 to 2019, I think it is. It's marked all slightly different. I get a lot of detail in a lot of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I'm pulling them in, because usually to get lots of orbs, you have to have a lot of energy. I suspect that where I am, there is a vortex, a small one, and I must be pulling in this energy, or this energy is connected with me, because it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger each time.
Can you see these orbs without your camera? You personally, can you see them?
Yes, I started to be able to see them. It took me a while, but in the peripheral vision, I can see them wing by me. They're actually quite quick, and if you put it on a movie camera, you can watch the movement of them.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my pictures are seven seconds apart. So if you put it on like a slideshow, you'll see how the movement of them.
I did that.
Sequence. Yeah.
Yeah, I did that. With a series of pictures that you have, you know, I've taken a picture where this, you said you were taking this photograph through your window. Okay, I took that picture and used it for tonight. But on your Facebook page, there's a little arrow on the right where you can click it and it'll go to the next picture.
Yeah.
And so I started clicking those real fast and watched these orbs move.
It's quite incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've been. They're teaching me how to spot them. They're also connected with me because for whatever reason, I just had this urge to go take pictures for no other reason. I could be 2 o'clock in the morning and I start taking pictures. I know they're there. It's not a belief that they're there. I know they're there. I sense them. I realize they're there. They don't talk to me like a human being, but on a different level.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to give the telephone number and invite our audience to join us. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. I know there are a lot of you out there who have also taken pictures that have orbs in them. I know a number of you have called in over the years and talked to me about that. So maybe you want to compare notes, or maybe you have something you would like to add to the discussion, or a question you would like to ask about the orbs. Or maybe, perhaps, some of you have been to the E-SETI Ranch that she talked about up at Mount Adams, and you have a comment or a question about that. The telephone line is open, and the number is 623-444-5889. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call that number. It will work. Or you can use our flash message option on the website. Go to kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down. You'll see where there's a picture about tonight's show. Right above that picture is the link for the flash messages, all right? To the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia again, 2 nights in a row.
Hi, Steve.
Listen, hiya. Keep up the good work, my dear. And understand that my wife is huge into these orbs. Lori goes outside, and she takes pictures of the orbs very frequently. One thing we have noticed is the orbs show up in greater quantity, greater numbers, and varieties when there's singing or celebration outside. We've had some incredible orb photographs out here. Another thing that she's noticed is we set up, or she does, she sets up orgone stations around the yard. We use them mostly for chemtrail busters, but we've noticed that the orbs seem to enjoy these orgone stations that are comprised of crystal rocks and aluminum and copper and some other stuff. Lori is more into the she's more into the orgon than I am, though I'm more into Wilhelm Reich than she is.
Steve, let me ask you a question about the orbs for a moment here. Can you see them with the naked eye?
I don't.
Uh-huh.
I don't see the orbs, but I'll tell you what I do see. I see rods.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if Haya sees rods.
Yes, I do.
And let me describe what it's like to see rods for me. I don't see them so much with my naked eye or my normal field of vision. I have to kind of scan the sky. I scan the sky, and I see rods where my eyes were, you know, where my field of vision was. You know, I'll intuit and see the rods. I mostly see them outside the hospital where I work. And I find it interesting that part of the hermetic symbol, the symbol of healing, is a rod with two serpents entwined around it and wings.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've noticed about the rods is they are fast movers. They move so swiftly, there's no way you can catch them with your naked eye. You just about have to see them with your intuitive vision, or you know, the part of your eyesight that isn't physical, but you know that they're there. You know that that rod has whistled through the sky or whistled through the dimension. It's not so much a sky phenomenon as it is an interdimensional phenomenon. And
okay, now you mentioned that your wife, Lori, is really into the orbs. Can she see the orbs without the camera?
Well, Lori starts to see them. She's beginning to see them. Let me tell you what Lori is about to do. She's going to get some a series of tuning forks, and she's going to start experimenting with tuning forks and seeing what kind of orbs are attracted to different tones according to the vibrations of the tuning forks. You know, we've been discussing that this evening since the show began.
That'll be interesting.
Something about these orbs. You know, we are intuiting something about the nature of them. Maybe the old legends of fairies and elementals, angels, the things that tend to arrange the synchronicities in people's lives. I think the orbs have something to do with that. You know, Lori and I are both kind of intuitively coming to that conclusion.
All right. Did you see
your wife could probably, if she wants to get some interesting pictures. Do you live in a house?
Oh yes.
Okay. Well, get yourself a hose and put the mister on in your hose at the end of your hose and point it up and wait. Just wait.
Turn
they love the water. They love misting. So
they like
if you put
misting.
It there. Yeah, they do. So if you put it out there, you'll start getting them in quickly.
Okay.
They also like snow.
Okay.
They love
snow. Well, you know what else likes misting is dragonflies and hummingbirds and butterflies. They
yes,
love
I
misting.
I have a lot of them here,
fact,
too.
In fact, a hummingbird will feed on the droplets from your mist.
Yes.
And so will a dragonfly. They'll pick up a droplet of water from midair and drink from it. And Lori commented on that she thinks that, you know, we have pools of water in the yard because we like to feed the wildlife down here in Georgia as well as our cats. You know, we have lots of kitty cats in the yard. And I think they may have something to do with it, too.
Well, you know what? Orbs love children. They love animals.
When I have my granddaughter over here, Kirsten... They love it when Kirsten's around. Yep, I agree. And listen, I'm going to stop eating up the airwaves here, and I'm going to be like last night, an individual who just enjoys and appreciates your program, Kevin. And thank you for having Haya on. Haya, you really have it going on, my dear. Bye-bye, and keep up the good work.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
I'm still curious, Haya. By the way, folks, the telephone number 623-444-5889. I know some more of you have some experience with these orbs. We have to step away for a break, and then we'll continue right after the break, all right?
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, also known as the world's hottest talk show host.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is one of our faithful listeners and members of The Kevin Smith Show, Haya. Haya, we have a caller online, so let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Leah from Tennessee.
Hello, Leah.
I am so glad you picked Haya.
I've got others coming up. Did you send me a message saying that you would be on?
Well, I would if I didn't know anything about it. My subscription ran out, and I'm in a boat like yours. Show is.
Okay.
My birthday's coming up, and I'm hoping somebody will have pity and buy me a subscription again.
Well, I'm sure they will.
But, oh gosh, with what she's talking about, wow. I mean, there are so many questions and so much I would love to be able to share and see and compare pictures.
Well, this is your opportunity. Go right ahead.
I get a lot of what she's talking about. I have even tested. I get orbs all the time, and they come when I call. You know, if they don't have any, I say, come on, show yourself, and they do. And I noticed other people that come over, and they say, oh, they want to get pictures, and they don't show up for them unless I go out with them. But I've noticed lately there's been a lot of cats. I see cats in a lot of the orbs. Faces.
Uh-huh.
But I've seen all different kinds of shapes as far as UFO relation. I've only seen two that seem to be related. One was an orange orb that came down and then shot off. That's not like the regular orbs that I get in the yard and in the house. But and then when I lived at my son's house, a big one came down into the yard, a ship, which was real bright white, huge.
Hiya, have you ever seen one that to you looked like a ship?
yes, actually. I've had a few. And I should pull up my old pictures and go through some of them because, yeah, one or two look very much like I've got the oranges and the red in it. And I've had smaller pink ones. And some of them definitely resemble some of the ships I've seen up at the Gilliland Ranch, you know, for sure. They seem to have the same type of signature, very much, very same. The thing is, what I've noticed with them, they can control what you want to see or what they allow you to see. I've had somebody, three people, taking pictures beside me, and not one of them is picking up the orbs, except for myself. And then I've been told, oh, well, it's your camera. So I've given my camera to somebody else and took theirs. They started taking pictures, nothing. I took pictures, something. So I think the orbs are totally aware of the fact they don't like negativity. They love children. They love animals. They can... You can get them in the daylight. I've got some really phenomenal, good pictures of daytime. Some of them are translucent. Some are opaque. Some are almost transparent. And then there's others that I can catch in my pictures. It's distortions of light, and you can actually see the outline of distortion. And each picture changes that distortion, and you'll find different types of orbs coming in, like really, really, really tiny, tiny bright ones. And other times, I will have nothing but a picture, white orbs with full of black dots in it. There have been other ones that look like craters. I've got pictures of them looking like craters.
Leah, have you encountered these that look like a distortion of light?
Yes, I have, and I've taken them. It's been about, I guess I've kind of been obsessed myself, you know, almost nightly going out and taking these pictures looking for UFOs, but mostly orbs. But even in the wintertime, I've seen, like, the rod-type lights, and I know there was no bugs. It's Tennessee, there was snow. There was no bugs.
Uh-huh.
And I have one time when I was out with the German Shepherd dog in the backyard. It was a puppy. It was playing, and I couldn't figure out what it was playing with, and I knew it, and I grabbed my camera. I get that feeling kind of like she does. It's like, grab the camera.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, that the puppy was actually playing with the orb, and it was bouncing on its nose. And I got a picture of that one. That was priceless.
Do you think the puppy could see it?
Oh, yeah, it was watching it.
Animals can see them.
Yeah, that's it.
It's just human beings.
Me to it a lot just by watching the cats and dogs and watching them where they look like they're looking at nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed, too, and I wanted to ask you, too, when I'm taking the cat picture at night, yet the flash goes off, and I've noticed if I look above it, I can see the light reflecting off them, and I know I'm going to get a bunch of orbs because I can see them.
That's right.
And I, like, out of the corner of their eye, I can see them when they go by.
Yes, and they're very fast moving. Some will actually stop for you, And they'll sit there in front of your camera. I mean, I got to the point now that when I'm taking the pictures, whether it's day or night, and I'm catching orbs, all of a sudden I'll see them in my camera screen. I haven't taken the picture yet. And I look up, and I don't see them. I look back into my screen, and there they are, bright, colorful. I take the picture. Sure enough, exactly what I saw prior to the picture is in my picture.
Yeah.
So they do have the capacity of showing themselves. They'll do it bit by bit until they get to know you. I'm getting to the point I've got an external a terabyte hard drive, and I'm getting to the point where it's getting full of pictures. And I have a 370 and a 250 also. And my pictures are, some of them are extremely large, full of orbs of all different types, colors, shapes, sizes, translucent, almost like subtle. You don't see, they're just subtle in the background. And then you can do two or three shots of the orbs. All of a sudden, they'll become... they can still change, and they'll become more translucent instead of transparent. And then they become more opaque than translucent. They'll sit there, they'll change, and then all of a sudden, next picture, they're gone.
All right, let me ask...
Would one go real bright just to get your attention?
Well, I've got to the point that I'm trying to pick up some controversial pictures. I'm blowing them up, and I'm going to be hanging them... where I live, in one of the coffee houses, because they've given me permission to do that.
All right, let me ask a question here of Leah first, because I've already kind of talked about this with you, Haya. Leah, I mentioned that in this photograph that I got off of Haya's Facebook page, we see different types of orbs in the picture, a whole bunch of them. But I said it looks like there are different sort of species of them, because we have these blue orbs that have a dark circle in the center, and there's more than one of those in this picture. I've put arrows to three of them. Then there's a picture that looks, I think Haya said, it looks kind of like a rocket taking off. It's an orb with a trail of light behind it, just a short, small trail of light. And I think there were four that I marked. Let's see. Yeah, four of those in this same photograph. And so that led me to say, well, it looks like, you know, there are different species of these. They're, you know... It's not just one with a trail of light. There's four of them here. It's not just one orb that has a dark center. There's several of them. What do you think about that? Do you think these things come in species?
Yeah. Excuse me. I would say they're kind of like us. You got some that's a little naughty and some that are nice. And, you know, and some that I haven't really felt comfortable with. But, yeah, I certainly do, because they're all different sizes and shapes. I've had some in the center where they're shaped like hearts, and then other ones I see faces, and some of them are reptilian. I've seen eyes, where like you'd see like in the eye, the pyramid type thing.
Uh-huh.
I've seen all kinds of stuff like that.
You know, we have a caller, well, not a caller, he sends flash messages, but from Australia. And in Australia... You probably remember, because you listen to the show frequently, one of our flash message writers that wanted to know about the Eye of Horus. And you just mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen that.
Yeah.
Was it in an orange orb?
No, it was actually, I've seen something that was more of a grayish blue.
Okay.
And then I saw a pink, you know, one that had an eye in it. Then I had another one that was looked like an alligator's eye,
mm-hmm.
or a snake eye,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the slit in the pupil. And it was so clear that you could actually look like reptile skin around the eye.
Wow.
Yeah, now, it kind of freaked me out.
Haya, have you had that where you see faces and animals and recognizable shapes in these orbs?
Yes, definitely. I've had people shapes, you know, people like people with beards, you know, man with beards, and people that looks like they're sitting into a vehicle.
Uh-huh.
Some that look like animals. Some look like birds. Other times they're indistinguishable, but they look like a blood cell.
Uh-huh.
Then there's others, like I've had orange ones, multicolored ones, purple ones, pink ones, white ones, kind of, I have so many, I really lose track because I have interdimensional too, where they look like forks of lightning coming down. That's also been put in my Facebook as well. Then I've got where the orbs are I've taken pictures with orbs, and then with it looks like I'm punching into a different dimension. I don't know how I'm doing that. All I know is that certain types of orbs seem to bring certain types of pictures in. when I was at the ranch this time, I had so many orbs. I just pointed my camera to the sky, and I had multicolor from small to light to dark. The whole picture was literally filled with them. Some were completely one color. Other times they look like they have eyes in them. Other times they look like there's a rim of one color, then another inside, and another inside. So they vary quite differently.
All right. Leah, did you have another question or comment?
Yes, I do.
All right.
When I'm taking pictures, a lot of the times I'll get streaks that go across the camera, and it looks like you said, where they're real thick and they go fast, all you get is streaks.
Yes.
But also notice that there are dots, like when you watch TV, especially the old TV, to get the picture, you have a string of dots with different colors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm getting like red dots, usually red dots, mm-hmm. sometimes blue, red dots in a pattern, a grid pattern. Have you ever got that?
Yes, I have.
What is that?
Yes, I've got a very large picture library. I mean, as I said, I've got probably around a terabyte of pictures in there, starting from 2007. Some are like little dots. Some are very, very white and bright. A lot of them are coming from the ground, going out. Other times, you find them going through the windows, the doors, the concrete, through the ceilings. You know, that doesn't seem to be anything that stops them from going through, which means that they're in a different realm than we are, yet we can still see them.
All right, we have to step away for a break. Leah, thank you so much for the call. Fascinating. Send me an email with your phone number, and we'll put you in the lineup for real people. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to step away for a break. We'll return right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach. That means we only have a few minutes left here. And if you still wish to call in, the line is still open, 623-444-5889. Just be sure that you don't wait until the last 2 or 3 minutes, okay? Caller, I've got you on hold. You're up next. And Leah, I want to read a flash message we have from Pem in Thailand. Today I hear your show first time, and my friends say me your wife is Thai. Is true? I like show too much. Pem, thank you. And yes, it's true. My wife is Thai. Beautifully Thai. And I'm glad to know we have a growing audience there in Thailand. All right. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Avi calling from New Jersey.
Hello, Avi.
Hi, Avi.
Hi. Hello, Haya.
How are you today?
Good. Oh, I'm doing really good.
Oh, Kevin, Avi was at the ranch this year.
Well, good. Tell us about it, Avi.
Yes. Well, I was there. Actually, I was there a couple of times. I went in 2010 and a couple of times, and then I came back this past. Yeah, I met Haya this past June, and it was July, June, July.
June, remember Robert was there, and we sat.
Yeah.
Listened to him.
That was great.
It wasn't it? Yes.
It was amazing. Yeah.
So, what did you see at the ranch, Avi?
What's that?
What did you see at the ranch?
What did I see?
Yeah.
Well, I saw. Oh, I got some good orb photos myself. I tend to get the white ones and the green ones. I don't see a lot of them in my camera, but you know, I felt some. Actually, what I experienced was when we were listening and some of the people speaking, I felt somebody like poking me on the shoulder, and there was nobody there doing it. And it was just me standing near nobody, and so talking to some other people who also experienced that. So unless somebody was, I'm pretty sure it was not a person.
So what do you think it was?
Physical person.
What do you think it was?
I don't know, trickster, another dimension, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to get my attention, probably, I think, is what it was.
Did you see any UFOs at the ranch?
I certainly did, yeah.
Was it impressive?
Well, it's always impressive to see. It was outside, I think there was a couple really bright ones the first night, right? There was a really big blue one.
That was huge.
It was giant, yeah. It made a big flash.
How about the orange and red one that just came over the treetops?
Yeah. There was that one.
Kevin, there's so much phenomena happening in that ranch. It's not just orbs or UFOs. Interdimensionals come through as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what somebody was mentioning earlier about one of the orbs being either extraterrestrial, some of them maybe, and, you know, in 2010, I actually met Jerry when he was visiting in New York and at the Star Visions place.
Oh, you met Jerry Wills. Wonderful.
Yeah, I met him. I ran into him up there. I actually went into Peru a few years ago. That's a whole other story. But,
What did you think about meeting Jerry?
Oh, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very. It was really nice meeting him and talking with him. And I actually went to one of the. It was like the Gateway seminar, I guess. And I think it talked about a lot of the healing techniques that he was teaching there. And we did. I went back a few weekends after to learn some more techniques. But I showed him some photos that I did when I got back from 2010 up the ranch up there. And one of them was an orb, and it looked like it had a face of a gray in it, like a shaped like one.
Oh, I remember that when you were telling me about that one.
Yeah. And you have a lot of ones, like so many different colors in there. It's just, it's like looking, you know, you look up at space and you see all the stars, but they're all colors. And
I know.
Like Christmas lights there. It's really nice, really beautiful.
I have over 300 pictures. Every single one has got orbs, wall-to-wall orbs this year.
I remember the ones that were moving the trail. It definitely, Kevin, looks like a different type of orb. I definitely agree with that.
So do you think they're from Earth, or do you think they are from elsewhere?
I don't know, man. You got me there. They're definitely from somewhere, though. And, you know, when I see the infrared spotlight moving and seeing how they move it on their own, you know, they're real and they're alive or whatever. I don't know. I don't have a sense on where they are from. I can't honestly be sure about that. But
do you find them to be spooky, or is it something that you just say, hey, that's cool?
No, I don't find any creepiness to it at all. You know, quite the opposite, as a matter of fact. The more open I am, you know, maybe they don't. I don't get a lot of shots of them because they think I am or something. I think it's just a matter of connecting with that level of energy, I guess you could say.
It's the connecting of that energy, Abby, I think.
Yeah.
If you get to a certain energy and I think they're aware, you know. I say they're sentient, you know, whether they're ETs or whether they're from here or interdimensionals. Obviously, they've got us pegged and they can read us, so... I think when you become more open and allow yourself to open yourself to it, I think you'll get more pictures.
And I was just thinking, yeah, I think definitely I'm going to go outside some more. You know, I was thinking about different species again. Maybe some of them are like animals, and some are people, and some are... There's so much going on with it, I don't know. Like, I'm talking about ones that are in the other, you know, not flying around like a bug or something. But
all right, Avi, we're almost out of time. I'm going to have to let you go, but thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, take care, Avi.
All right, got a question for you before we run out of time, because we've only got about a minute and a half here before we have to start landing the starship.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the show, I said a lot of people have had experiences with phenomena that is from the world of the strange and unexplained. But then they wonder, well, did I really experience that, or am I going nuts? And once they work through that and decide they're not going nuts, a lot of people still will not talk about it because they don't want to be ridiculed. How do you handle all of that?
I've had people that have ridiculed me, and I've taken, at this point in time, so many pictures, I just say, well, you got to see it to believe it. So, recently, a friend's son that I know, he was kind of looking at me like, oh, yeah, right. And so I just had my picture gallery, sat him down in front of my computer, and I told him, there's over 300 pictures in here, go through them all, and then you can tell me if you think there are specks of light or whatever. No, I think he really got an eye-opener.
Uh-huh.
And I think I can, at this point in time, to a certain degree, prove the fact that they are not specks of dirt or dust.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think from the picture that I showed on the air tonight, I think that pretty well definitively tells us that's not dust. Okay, Haya, I want to thank you for being with us. If you will, stay on the telephone with me for just a moment as I bring this in for a landing. We're out of time, folks. I wish we had more, but we don't. You see, real people just like you have encounters with things that are strange and unexplained. They're not crazy, you're not either, and you're not alone. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me, just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long everybody.